Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Once again, thank you guys for joining us today for Crosstown Church of Memphis Online Church. And we're so blessed to have you with us. We're going to continue with a series that we started last week, which is titled Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. So I had to throw that Byron in there, but Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ. You know, last week we started this teaching series, and the whole purpose, the whole goal is for us to understand that, you know, there are certain things that go good together. They just, you know, they're good by themselves. But when they're joined with something else or joined with someone else, they just go better together. You know, beans and rice, they are good by themselves. Rice is a good hybrid source of carbohydrates. Beans is a good source of protein. So they both are good by themselves. But when you bring them together, you know, not only do they taste good together, but they also provide what is called a complete protein. They actually work. And where they work better together in providing the health and the nutrients to our body that we need. They are a very good source of muscle building, a very good source for muscle building and also energy, gaining energy together. So they work, they're good by themselves, but they work better together. And one thing about us is that we are all good by ourselves, but we are better together. God wants us to know God desires for us to be a part of a community, not to be a man or a woman to themselves, but to be a part of a community. When we are part of a community, then we are stronger together. We are better together. Everything becomes better. And so we talked about last week also about the four F's. The four F's is family, friends, fellowship, and food. You know, when people gather together like we just did last month for Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving is a time where family come together, friends come together, we fellowship and we share with food. These are some of the best times that we have together, you know, as a group when we have these gatherings. And, you know, we just had yesterday Christmas and a lot of people around the entire globe that were sharing in the four F's, and that's family, friends, fellowship, and food. You know, when we share in these four F's, it's a part of sharing in community. It's a great opportunity, a great time for us to come together and to bond and to be build on a stronger community. We found that last week we talked about Jesus. He spent a lot of time sharing in the four F's. You know, there are times where he gathered together with a lot of family, a lot of friends, and he fellowshipped in people's homes and they ate and broke bread together. You know, there was even times where Jesus was accused of, you know, doing something wrong or fellowshipping or hanging out with the wrong people. You know, he was accused of hanging out with sinners, you know, or different things like that. And he was sharing in the four F's. You know, sharing in the four F's is a good thing that we need to do. We needed it to be a part of our lives. Anytime we can, you know, take advantage of those opportunities, we need to do so because it helps to build on that community that we have, that community that God desires for us to be a part of. And so we are going to pick up where we left off in our lesson last week. So if you did not get the lesson last week, I just encourage you to go to our website or go to our YouTube channel or our Facebook page. It's in multiple places, our podcast, Crosstown Church of Memphis podcast. And you can listen to the message from last week to catch you up for today. But today we're going to pick up where we left off at. And where we left off last week, we were getting ready to get into three things that we need or three things that's important in building a strong community. And so the very first thing that we need in building a strong community, first off, is seasoning. We need seasoning. We know that, seasoning is an important part of, you know, when you're cooking, for those of you that like to cook, you know, seasoning is a very important part of, you know, your cooking process or your recipe or whatever. There's one seasoning that is like probably the most famous or the most used seasoning in the entire world. And that seasoning is salt. Salt is used in just about every recipe that you can name. Salt is used for all kinds of sauces, but when it comes to seasoning, it is a very widely used seasoning. You know, it's good to make things taste better. Salt just makes stuff taste better. You know, I like to cook steak. You know, I haven't cooked steak in a long time, but when I do cook a good steak, I like to take steak and just put in a cast iron skillet, throw some butter in the skillet and just put that steak on there with some salt and just a very little salt, not a whole lot of salt. But one thing about cooking a good steak is that you don't need a whole bunch of seasoning. A lot of people, they cook steaks and they, you know, put seasoning salt, they put this on there, they put that on there, put all these different things on there. You know, this is how you could tell if you got a good piece of meat. This is how you could tell if your steak is a good quality piece of meat. And that is put it in a cast iron skillet, throw some butter on there and throw a little bit of salt on it. Then taste it and see what it tastes like. Then you can tell if that's a good piece of meat, a good piece of steak. But when you throw a whole bunch of other stuff on there, and I'm not against, you know, putting a whole bunch of different other seasonings and all type of, you know, stuff on your steak when you cook it or whatever, you know, that's cool. That's up to you, whatever. But salt, a good steak, all it needs is salt and butter. That's it. It don't need nothing else. You know, salt just makes things taste better. You know, there are certain things like, you know, popcorn. When you eat, go to the movies and you get some popcorn, you know, popcorn by itself is just bland. It's just popcorn, you know. But as soon as you throw a little bit of salt on that popcorn, guess what? It tastes a whole lot better, don't it? Tastes a whole lot better with a little salt. So y'all get my point. Salt makes things taste better. It just does. It makes things taste so much better than just without salt. You know, I'm sure y'all can think of a lot of other things. You know, peanuts, salted peanuts taste better, right? Salted caramel, you know, tastes better. There are just certain things that salt just makes stuff taste better. Salt is also a preservative. You know, we know especially for those of you that are a little bit older, in age, then you know that salt used, you know, back in the day was used as a preservative for certain meats and stuff when people didn't have refrigerators or didn't have good refrigerators, you know, ice boxes or whatever. They would take back in the days before ice boxes, they would take meats, different foods, and they would just cover them with salt and wrap them and bury them or different things like that, or put them in a meat locker or whatever. And it would preserve those meats. It would preserve certain things, you know, in our foods today. You know, when you look at all the canned goods and stuff that's, you know, bagged and put in plastic bags and sealed, shrink wrapped and all this stuff like that. There are certain preservatives that they put in the foods to make it last longer. And those preservatives, just about all preservatives have salt in them because salt is used as a preservative. Salt has a tendency to make things do what? Last longer. Salt can make things last longer. You know, it's also good for healing. Salt is very good for healing. You know, a lot of people use it for medicinal purposes. You know, it's good for healing canker sores. You know, so if you ever get a canker sore, get some salt, you know, sprinkle on there, see what happens. You know, it might dry it up. Ingrown toenails or ingrown fingernails. You know, if you get an ingrown toenail or ingrown fingernail or something like that, sprinkle a little bit of salt on it with a couple drops of water. You know, one of the reasons why it's good is because it has iodine in it. Salt has, you know, table salt, at least table salt has iodine in it. Iodine is one of the best things that you can use for ingrown nails. It just is. It cures it in no time. It keeps ingrown nails from setting up infection. And so iodine or table salt has iodine in it. So it's good for ingrown nails. Did you know that salt is also good for eczema? You know what I mean? I don't know how or what. Maybe it dries it up or something like that. It dries up or I don't know what it does, but it's good for eczema. It's also good for heartburn. If you have a little heartburn, you know, I guess get a tablespoon of salt and just eat it and see it take away your heartburn. Probably not a tablespoon, but, you know, a little bit of salt, you know, does the body good. Sore throats. Salt is good for sore throats. It's also good for what? Bad breath. If you got some super halitosis, some chronic halitosis, you know, get you some salt water and some warm salt water, gargle it to get rid of that bad breath. It helps also to soothe and to heal sore throats. You know, salt is good for a lot of issues that you might have with your mouth. You know, when you back in the day, when we used to, as children, when we would lose a tooth, you know, our parents would give us, you know, a little cup of salt water, a little warm salt water, tell us to gargle and swish it on the area where the tooth came out. And it would, you know, begin to heal that gum area real quick. When we go to the dentist used to tell us that too. You know, just get, if you feel any pain or if it's some bleeding or something that's going on, just get a little salt, warm salt water and swish it and goggle a little bit. It'll heal it up for you. Any type of, a lot of type of mouth issues that you have, warm salt water is good for it. So salt is a good a source of healing. It's good. It has a lot of good medicinal benefits to it. Salt is also good for hydration. It's good to hydrate you. I remember when I first started running track in school, I was in junior high school, and I first started running track. And there were times during our track meets, our coach would give us these little red pills, you know? And at first, you know, of course, we didn't know nothing what that stuff was or whatever, but they were real tiny little red pills he would give us. And come to find out, there were salt pills. You know, I didn't know what salt pills were. Why is he giving us salt pills, you know? Come to find out that they were good for hydration, you know? And so there were, it would keep us from cramping. You know, your body cramps a lot of times during, you know, when you're doing active, you know, athletic activities or whatever, your body real active during strenuous work or whatever, you have a tendency to, you know, burn water. And so you need to stay hydrated, so that your body don't cramp, so your muscles don't cramp. And so he would give us these salt pills to keep us hydrated so that we don't cramp when we're running and what have you. So salt is good for hydration. You know, so there's a lot of good benefits for salt. And you know, it makes things taste good. You know, it preserves things, make things last a lot longer. It has a lot of, you know, medicinal benefits to it and what have you. You know, the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 is a very familiar scripture to all of us. And that scripture is, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, what good is it? Jesus is telling us, and he's letting us know, he was speaking and teaching at this time when he said this, and he's telling everybody that you are the salt of the earth. And he said, if salt loses its flavor, what good is it for? He said, it's good for nothing but to be thrown on the floor, thrown on the ground, and be walked upon, or be trampled upon. There is, you know, have you ever tasted salt that had no flavor to it before? I have, and it don't taste good. It's like diet salt. Don't nobody want no diet salt. No, it just don't taste good. Salt, when it has no flavor, just throw it away. There's no good. There's no use for it at all once it loses its flavor. Jesus is letting us know that we're salt. We're the salt of the earth, you know? And because we're the salt of the earth, there are certain things that we should bring to the table, you know? One that we should bring to the table is that we should make things taste better. We should make things just better, you know? And it doesn't take a whole lot of stuff, you know, for us to make things better. You know, just like I told you, when you cook a steak, you don't need a whole lot of stuff to make a good steak taste good, just a little bit of salt. You know, eggs, you know, I love eggs, you know? I don't know what it is about salt and eggs, but when you put a little bit of salt, you know, just the right amount of salt in eggs, it just makes the egg taste the way it's supposed to take. You know, I've cooked eggs before in different, you know, we use some different seasoning here and there, you know, some seasonal and what have you, know, just trying to spice it up just a little bit. It don't work. You know, at least that's just me. Salt and pepper, salt and good old pepper is the only thing the eggs need. You know, maybe a little cheese, you know, other stuff, you know, but to make eggs taste like eggs, salt. You know, there are certain things about us in this world that Jesus is letting us know that you don't need a whole lot to make things better. You don't need a whole lot to make this world better. You don't need a whole lot to make the lives of other people better. The way you are, who you are, the way you are is enough to make somebody else's life better. The way you are is enough to make this world better. You by yourself all is enough to make this world a better place. And so God wants us to know, Jesus wants us to know that you can make things better. Just like salt can make things taste better, you have flavor in you. You have a flavor in you that can make things better. Salt is good for preserving things. You know, there are things about you that are good for preserving. you know, preserving the lives of others. You have abilities within you. You have talents within you. You have gifts that are within you, things that God has placed in you, you know, that makes things last a little bit longer. You know, maybe you have the ability to help relationships last longer. You have the ability to help, you know, situations, you know, good situations, you know, whatever that might be, just last things, just make things better. You know what I mean? Medicinal purposes. Salt is good for healing. You are good for healing. Jesus, you know, he provides us with healing. If you got Jesus in you, then you got healing in you. All right. You have healing in you on so many different levels, you know, that people are needing, that people are wanting. You know, sometimes just your presence is enough to bring healing to somebody. You know, sometimes you have a soft word or a kind word or an encouraging word or a comforting word to somebody that brings healing to them. You know, sometimes maybe your training or your talents or whatever it is that you have, maybe it's just your personality. It has a way of bringing healing to somebody. You know, your thoughts and your consideration, it brings healing to people. You have healing within you. You know, hydration, salt is good for hydration. You know, it keeps people from getting dried out. You know, you have a way of rejuvenating. You know, when you're hydrated, you get rejuvenated. There's something in you that has the ability to rejuvenate the lives of other people. And, you know, Jesus lets us know that we are the salt of the earth, which means that we can make things better, you know, which means that we can preserve things, which means that we can provide healing, which means that we can rejuvenate. And it says, if we lose our flavor, then what good are we? What good are you? If you have the ability to be the salt of the earth and you don't use it, you lose your flavor. He says, good for nothing than to be trampled on under the foot of men. As a community, it is important that we do not lose our flavor. Don't lose your flavor. And one of the best ways to keep our flavor is to use it in a community. Not to be isolated, but to use it in a community. If you don't use it, they say what? You will lose it. So use it. The more you use it, the more, you know, reproduce. That's the word I need. Reproduce. The more you use it, the more that you will reproduce. All right. So number one is a very important part of being a part of a community. And that is seasoning. You need to be seasoned. We all need to be seasoning to one another. We need to be the salt of the earth. The next thing that's good for a community is mixing. You know, whenever you're cooking something, whenever you're getting a recipe together, you get certain ingredients together, you get seasoning together, you know, the different things that you need. And then you do what? You start mixing them together, right? It is good for us as people. It is good for us, the people, to get together and to do what? To mix and to mingle. You know, you come with a certain type of flavor. You know, I come with a certain type of flavor. Marguerite comes with a certain type of flavor. But all of our flavors are good by themselves. But guess what? They are even better when they are together. But the only way that they're going to be together or be able to share with one another is the mixing. We need to come together and we need to mix together. Amen. So a lot of people, it's good for us to come together because guess what? A lot of people, you know, have the same interests and they have the same similarities. It's good to have people in our lives that have the same interests and the same similarities. You know, some of you are aware that, you know, me and Sharika, you know, we have grown very close together, you know, we spend a lot of time together. And one of the things that's brought us close together, or shall I say it started, is us having the same birthday. And because we have the same birthday, it's like, man, we kind of identify ourselves as being birthday twins, you know, so we was always kind of clicking off that we birthday twins, you know. But then we found out that we were born in the same hospital, which is the hospital at the Navy base in Millington. You know, we were talking one day and found out that we were born at the same hospital. And, you know, we got excited about that. Like, dang, we got a birthday on the same day. We born in the same hospital. And then, you know, there are just other things that we found that we had a lot of the same interests. We had a lot of the same similarities. And we just clicked like that. You know, it's good to have people in your life, you know, that have the same interests and the same similarities. You know, my wife, she's an identical twin. And And that her and her sister have a lot of the same interests, a lot of the same similarities. It's good to have people in your life like that. But it's also good to have people in your lives that have different interests and different abilities. You know, it's good to have people with same interests, same, you know, similarities and same abilities and different things like that, you know, but it's also good to have people with different, you know, you can eat the same food every single day and it's good and you like it. But after a while, it get kind of boring, don't it? Sometimes you just want to change things up. Sometimes you just want to eat something different, right? Sometimes you want, even you may eat the same food all the time, but every now and then you may want to change it up a little bit, use a different type of seasoning. You know, for those of you that like chicken wings, you know, you might like hot wings all the time, you know, but every now and then what you want some lemon pepper wings, right? And then lemon pepper, when you taste them lemon pepper wings after eating hot wings all the time, them lemon pepper wings be tasting fire, don't it? You know, you may like some jerk wings sometimes, you know, every now and then you want some jerk wings. You know, it's good to like what you like. It's good to have people in your lives that have the same similarities, the same interests, but it's also good to have people with different interests and different abilities. And the only way we can share in those things is by us mixing together, mixing up those different interests and mixing up those different abilities, you know, mixing things up from time to time. You know, Marguerite and I, we are a little bit adventurous than, you know, some people, you know, that we're around. Some people that we know, we're a little bit more adventurous when it comes to trying different foods, you know, especially ethnic foods. You know, we're adventurous. We'll try, you know, some foods from different other countries and, you know, other ethnicity groups and different things like that. You know, hey, it's cool with me. I try different types of fishes and different types of seafoods and different types of meats and what have you, you know, and you know, some of y'all are not as in, as, you know, are not so adventurous, you know. I eat frog legs. Yeah, I eat them. Alligator. Yeah. Shark. Yeah. What else I eat? Goat. Yep. Goat.
Weird. I was going to say squid, but you don't care too much.
Right? Yeah, I don't care for that too much. I try a lot. I'm adventurous. I'll try some things, right? Y'all see that sun coming in on me? Y'all see that? That sun just hit me just right, didn't it? I told y'all it's a beautiful day here in the city of Memphis, boy. Anyway, so we're a little bit adventurous. You know, we like to change things up. You know, there's things that we like. There's certain foods that we like. But every now and then, you know, when we go out or we do different things or whatever, we love to switch it up, change it. We love to mix it up. That's what we like to do. We love to mix it up. You know, I love to, you know, to mix up with cultures. I love to mix with different cultures. I love to experience people with different cultures and different backgrounds from different countries and whatever. You know, one of the most beautiful things about mixing with people that have different interests and different abilities, people from different countries, people from different backgrounds. You know, when you mix with people that are, say, from different countries, it's like you travel to those countries without actually traveling there. You know, when you mix and you hang out with people and you spend time with people from different places, it's like you feel like you're actually in that country because you get to experience that country from that personal level of the people that you're mixing with without actually going to that country. You know, I love it. I love it so much. It is like something that is it's a highlight of mine when I have the opportunity to do so. We need to mix it up every now and then. We need to be willing to mix it up. There is so much more that's going on in this world than what we got going on in our own little communities. There is so much more that's going on in this state, in the state that you live in. There's so much more going on in your state than just in your city. And you know, there's so much going on in your city than just what's going on in your neighborhood. There is a whole world out there just in your city alone. There is a whole community out there with experiences and with cultures and with abilities and you know, from all around the world, right there in your city and possibly right there in your community, but you never get an opportunity to experience it because you don't mix. It's because you don't mix up with other people, mix up with other cultures, mix up with other people with different interests and different abilities. There is so much that the world has to offer. And you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready and willing to experience it. I want to get out there and I want to experience everything that this world has to offer to me. You know, I like to spice things up. I like to spice it up. And the way you spice it up, mix it up. All right. You know, today, people, they feel like, you know, if you're different, you know, then somehow you don't fit in. You know, when it comes to mixing with people who are different, people from different places or, you know, different backgrounds or even people with different interests or different abilities, you know, sometimes we feel like our culture tries to makes us feel like, you know, if people are different, then they're not going to fit in. Or if we're different, we're really not going to fit in. So, man, I don't know if I want to go over to that person's house because they're kind of different. You know what I mean? They different. And so I don't know if I'm going to fit in. So I'm not going to mix with them. Or we may not invite them to, you know, something that we got going on because we feel that they probably feel like they're not going to fit in, you know, because they're kind of different. You know what? Do not let that be a barrier. Do not let that be something to stop you because they may be excited to experience something different. And you never know what you might learn or experience from experiencing something different. You know, or here's another thing. People, you know, if you don't agree with someone, then sometimes we feel like if you don't agree with me, then you are against me. And that is a huge mistake. Just because somebody doesn't agree with you does not necessarily mean that they are against you. It just simply means that they're different. You know, some people, it's good to mix up with people because so somebody else is different. They have differences, you know, from what you have, different interests, different abilities, different likes, you know, different dislikes. And their difference is not necessarily them being in a disagreement with you. It's just that they're different. Maybe they had a different experience. Maybe they had a different upbringing. Maybe they had a different background. Maybe they had have a different culture. Maybe, you know, so many things is just different about them, which causes them not to necessarily see things the same way you see them. And if they don't see things the same way you see them, then we shouldn't necessarily take that as them disagreeing. It's not that they disagree. It's just that they're different. You know, if Marguerite says that she likes black and I say that I like white, and then, you know, we have a conversation about it, it's not that we're disagreeing with one another. We're just different. She like black, I like white. It's just like that, you know? So we need to stop letting our differences cause us to be separate, but we need to let our differences draw us together and do what? Mix. That's what we need to do. You know, as Christians, if we learn to love in the midst of our differences, we can be a better witness as to who Christ really is. In the book of John, chapter 13 and verse 35, it says this: by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. By what? He says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. By what? By that. He goes on to say this: if you love one another. If we love one another in the midst of our differences, in the midst of our abilities, in the midst of our disagreements, which is not necessarily a disagreement, just a difference, if we can love people and mix, when we mix up with people, you know, it is evidence, it's a sign, it shows that in the midst of us mixing together, that we are truly disciples of Christ. When we are segregated, when we are separated, it is not a testimony that we are Christ's disciples. It is not a testimony of who Christ really is. It's actually an indictment against who the church should be. It's an indictment of who Christ is. And we need to make sure somebody has their mic on right now. We can hear a lot of background noise. Can you mute that, please? Thank you. But we need to, when we come together and we are able to just show so much, then we're able to be an example of who the church actually is. We have so many different, you know, communities amongst us, you know, in our own neighborhood, in our own city, so many communities where people are separate. There's a whole lot of segregation, a whole lot of separatism going on. And you know, even the way people function and move about, there's so much separation going on. And it is not a testament of who Jesus Christ really is. And it's not a testament of who we are as Christians, as being disciples of Jesus Christ. But when we are able to mix things up, mixing it up, that is a testament of who we are. First thing that we need, two important things that we need in being a part of a true community. One, we need to have flavor. We are the salt of the earth. Amen. We need to have taste. Number two, we need to mix things up, realizing that there are so many differences and different abilities and all kinds of things out there with different people and so forth. The world has so much to experience out there, and Jesus wants us to experience it all. We need to taste. We need to mix it up. Here's the third thing that's very important that we need to be a part of a great community, and that is we need to taste. Amen. We need to taste. What good is it if you have some good seasoning? What good is it if you take that seasoning and mix it up, but you're not willing to taste it? You have to taste it. You know, it's so important that we taste. My grandmother, you know, I used to watch her cook all the time. And there were times where she would be cooking different things. And I remember one specifically that when she would cook dressing, she would mix up her dressing, you know, all the seasoning, the cornbread and all the other stuff that she would put into it. And she would have it in a big old bowl and she mixed everything up. And before she put it in the oven, I used to see her all the time as she put in a different seasoning. And she would stick her finger in it and she would taste it, you know, and she would then pour some old seasoning, different stuff in there. And she would lick, you know, taste. And I used to look at her like, that stuff is raw. It ain't even cooked. How you even eating that stuff and tasting that stuff? It's not even going to taste the same. Once you cook it, it's going to taste different. Why are you even doing that? That's nasty. That's how I used to look at it, you know? And, you know, different foods that, you know, she would do that. And I'm like, that's crazy. And it wasn't until I got older and I started cooking, you know, for myself and I would cook different things and, you know, season different things a certain type of way. And you know, I would season, you know, based on what it looked like, you know, oh, this look good. Let me put this on there, put that on there, you know, and then I would cook it and it'd come out. No, that did not taste good, right? So I stopped going off my looks all the time, you know what I mean? And started tasting stuff. And then once I started tasting stuff, and it's like, oh, I get it. I understand. You know, how do you know if something's going to taste good if you don't ever taste it? You just don't know. And so she would taste things, and I realized, man, I need to start tasting some stuff, you know, before I actually cook it. And if I start tasting some things before I actually cook, now there's some things you can't taste before you cook it, all right? And like, you don't taste no raw meat, you know, before you cook it. You're going to get sick, all right? You're going to get salmonella out here. But there are certain things that we need to taste. Or if you cook something, you need to be willing to taste it. So many people aren't willing to try new things in this world because that it's different. They just not willing to try things because, you know, some people have already determined that they're not going to like something or that they don't like something without ever tasting and seeing. Some people decide that certain foods that I don't like that. I ain't tasting that. I know I ain't going to like that. How do you know that you're not going to like it? How do you know that you are going to like it? You don't know until you actually taste it. We have to be willing at certain things. You know, there are some things that, you know, of course, you ain't gonna be no fool, all right? I ain't telling nobody to be no fool, but there are certain things. If somebody else is eating it, if somebody else is doing it, if somebody else is experiencing it, and it ain't killing them, and they're living their life just fine, and they're happy, they cool, everything's straight, everybody else is happy, merry, having a great time, what makes you think if it ain't killing them, why is it gonna kill you? I don't get it. So, I mean, I look at it, hey, they fine, they tasting, they doing good. Okay, at least I can do is try it. Let me just try it. Let me just taste it, see what it say. I might taste it and I may not like it. Okay, that don't mean that it's nasty. That don't mean that it's terrible. That don't mean that it's the scum of the earth. That don't mean that it's from Satan because they like it. All it simply means is that I just don't like it, but I will never know if I don't ever try. You know, I remember, you know, there was a saying, and you guys have heard me talk about this before. I, you know, people used to always say, black people don't ski. Black people don't ski. And, you know, I used to say that too. I used to think that too. And then one day I found out that that was a lie. I mean, even to this day, people say that Black people don't ski. Black people don't ski. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie to keep you from doing what you don't want to do, and that is ski. It's a lie because people are not willing to mix, and they're not willing to try different things. They ain't willing to taste. You're not willing to taste. Why? Because you've already determined that you're not going to like it. And because you already determined that you're not going to like it, you fed into the lie, and you tell everybody the lie. Black people don't ski. That's a lie. You know how when I found out Black people don't ski was a lie? It's not because I saw Black people skiing, because I didn't. It's because I tasted it. It's because I tried it. That's how I knew. I was like, well, at least let me just go try it. See, you know, let's see. Okay. I tried it. And when I tried it, I loved it. I fell in love. There were certain things, you know, there are certain foods that I looked at and I was like, I'm nervous about this. You know, I remember, you know, me and Marguerite, you know, we had a lot of, in the church that we used to be in, had a large African population. And I used to go to these African weddings and African parties and African events all the time. And they would have food spread out all over the place. And they would have all kind of African dishes and stuff like that. And it was the first time I ate goat, you know, and I'm like, what's this right here? Looked like a little roast beef or something like that. You know, what's this right here? What's this right here? You know, and put some of that on my plate. Put some of that on my plate, you know, and oh, that's goat. Goat. You mean like the bad goat, you know? Yeah, not the sheep, but goat. Okay, it's on my plate now. Let me go sit down. Let me give it a try, you know, and sat down and ate it and tried it and liked it. Had no problem with it. Enjoyed it. You know, I remember we have a lot of Asian population as well. And we had some Philippines, and we used to go to their houses and their events and their weddings and birthday parties and all kind of stuff like that. And all types of foods that didn't look familiar to me. And I remember, you know, I'm getting some, filling up my plate, you know, trying different things, trying this and trying that. And there was these little bitty white balls. There was eggs, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, eggs, this must be like devil eggs. You know, we eat devil eggs, and let's try these. They just don't cut them in half and, you know, mix the yolk or whatever. They just do something to them. So let me try these. And got me a couple of them little white eggs, and come to find out they was quail eggs. And I ate one. Boop. I didn't like it. I didn't like it, you know. But they was killing them. They was eating them things like they were jelly beans. But, you know, hey, I was willing to taste it. I was willing to taste it. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's okay to taste. You may not like it, but you just might find out that you love it. There were certain things. There were so many things that this world has to offer. You know, my niece, Dominique, who lives in South Dakota now, you know, I love hearing her talk about the new experiences that she's experiencing living there, things that she never would have experienced in Atlanta, you know, and I'm just so thankful that, you know, she's willing to taste. She's willing to try, knowing that there is so much in God's creation. There is so much that God has created for us to experience and to live this fullness of life that's out there. And we have to be willing to taste certain things. We may like it. We may not like it. But you know what? I'm like this right here. God made it. It can't be bad. Because the Bible, there's a scripture in the Bible said that all things that God made is good. Everything that God made is good. You know, if it's bad, it's bad for a reason. But, you know, maybe it's bad just because you just don't like it, or maybe because it's being misused or mishandled. But, you know, you may not like it. Somebody else loves it. And I just want to know, the book of Psalms, it says this. Book of Psalms, chapter 34, and I'm about to close here, guys. Chapter 34 and verse 8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How are you going to know if the Lord is good if you never taste him? You just don't. the Lord God has created so much in this world. He has given us so much in this world, not just in his creation of the planet, you know, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, the trees, the animals, and all that stuff like that, the birds, and but he has given us so much in one another. We are probably the most complex creation that God has ever created. I mean, think about it. There's so much about us, our physical being, our physical makeup, you know, even our mental capabilities, our spiritual attachments, the whole spiritual life. You know, we got the physical, we got the spiritual, and the mind, body, and the soul. And there's so much unknown. You know, they talk about there's so much unknown in space. It's so much unknown just in our own self that scientists and doctors and all of the explorers and everybody, they still haven't figured out how this body functions the way it does. They still haven't figured out how we think and why we think the way we do in certain things. They still haven't figured out why we feel and how our emotions be evolving and changing and doing the certain things that it does. They still haven't figured out all the stuff about ourselves. There's places in this planet that no one has still ever touched or seen before. There's still animals on this planet that people are still discovering that they have never ever seen by human eyes before. Do you guys know that? There are still animals on this planet. I'm gonna say that one more time. There are still living creatures on this planet that we live on that people are seeing and discovering every day, because I don't know how often, but they're constantly discovering animals that had never been human eyes laid on before. And everybody's like, what in the world is that? I ain't never seen that in my life before. Yeah, nobody else has ever seen it, but it's been around. Ooh, go figure. There's places on this planet. There's square footage and square mileage on this planet that has never been touched by human feet or seen by human eyes before. That's how big this thing is. You know, there's places in the space that ain't never been seen or touched before. This thing is huge. And guess what? With all that is within us, that God has created for us to be able to experience in one another, to experience in a community, why deny ourselves that experience? I mean, think about it. Why deny ourselves the experience of other people that God has created to make our lives better? Other people that God has created to help preserve our lives. Other people that God has created to bring healing to our lives. Other people to bring rejuvenation to our... If God has created all these different type of people to bring all of this benefit to our lives, why do we deny ourselves of that? It beats me. I don't know. Because we've already decided that we don't like it. I believe it's time that we start tasting the Lord's goodness in ways that we never have before. This pandemic has caused us to separate our lives in ways that we never have experienced before. And now that we're getting back to a place of gathering, sharing in the four F's like we haven't done in several years, we're starting to get back to that place and, you know, and learning how to live in the midst of a pandemic or whatever. I believe that we have a great opportunity to reestablish what community is all about. I believe we have a great opportunity right now to really look at this and say to ourselves that we are better together, that we don't have to let circumstances and situations keep us from one another. We don't have to let our differences keep us from one another. We don't have to let our dislikes and what have you keep us away from one another. We don't have to let, you know, our culture or our background or our upbringing keep us away from one another, but let us see the benefits of how we are better together. Just like beans and rice are good by themselves, they are better together. Just like you, you are good in yourself. You are good all by yourself. But guess what? You're even better when you're joined together in a community of people, especially people with differences. Amen. What are you thankful for this holiday season? Beans, rice, and Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee, 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.